This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Happy lunchtime, everybody. Happy weekend, everybody. Almost there. It is the Carson Anderson program here on 97.1 The Ticket. I am Doug Carson. That is Scott the Gator Anderson. And we both spent our Thursday night, along with Kang, our producer, behind the glass, watching the Four Nations Cup final. And it did not disappoint. In fact, this tournament far exceeded, I would imagine, just about everybody's expectations. I don't want to speak for everybody, but it certainly exceeded my expectations. Gator, it exceeded your expectations. Kang, it exceeded your expectations. I wonder how much of the players are like, look, I was into it, but I didn't realize how into it I would be. Those were two teams out there playing a hockey game that they cared about the result, and that was never the case in the All-Star game. So this feels like a massive win overall for the sport, a good marketing opportunity. We talked at length about, you know, hockey trying to capitalize off this and carry some momentum into the second half of the season and maybe grab a greater stronghold on a position in American sports. I was talking about my Canadian cousins that were blowing up my phone, but I got a text from Cousin Brady out in San Diego who was into it. So, you know, he's, maybe that's the more important target audience than Canada, right? Is did Brady watch? I should see if Scott watched. Brady's dad, my wife's cousin's husband. Not that you really need to know. But I wonder if he watched it at all. Because hockey's just not on San Diego's radar.
No. And this would have been, a game that starts at 5:15 their time.
Yep.
But it may have been on people's radar because of what happened last Saturday night, and it blew up.
Yeah.
And it was all over the news. It was the number one story going into yesterday, and going the whole week we were talking about it. And yep. We're not unique.
No.
not in that regard. Many other regards, we're very unique. But I mean, this captured not only, of course, our nation, but obviously Canada's as well. And I imagine there were a lot of eyes on this. Hockey fans worldwide were watching this.
Yep. So, we did a topic yesterday, and we got some feedback, and it was really cool. It was non-hockey fans that said, yeah, I'll watch this game tonight. This is a topic that I'm asking to non-hockey fans and hockey fans alike. What did you learn? Now, for the non-hockey fan, this is a safe space. You can call up and say, I really didn't know what icing was. Or whatever. Doesn't matter what it is. Non-hockey fans that sampled it for last night, what did you learn? If anything, or it might be just a player. You learned how good so-and-so was. And for the Red Wing fan or hockey fan, there are other things that you might have learned. And I don't mind admitting I learned something that I did not know. I knew who this guy was. I had no idea he was that good.
Yeah, there's a guy that I identified watching the game last night that I was like, oh, that's the type of player I want. It's a guy who sacrifices everything out there on the ice. Solid player. Position of need. And I think would look fantastic in a Red Wing uniform.
I'm not even, like, look, whether, I don't, most of these players, there's not accessibility to them for the Red Wings, but
right.
As far as,
but I just love the style of play.
All right, who's your guy?
Jacob Slavin, the defenseman. He was diving all over the place, blocking shot after shot. He had three block shots in the game. Part of the offense, getting involved with the offense, had a couple shots on goal as well. This is just last night, but the whole tournament, you knew where he was. This guy was just making play after play that doesn't show up on a stat sheet. You know, hey, here's a rebound. Oh, looks like Sidney. No, Sidney Crosby doesn't have it. Why? Slavin.
Yep.
Because Slavin tied up his stick or lifted his stick, knocked the puck away.
I had no idea he was that good.
I had no idea.
I mean, I knew he was good. The stat about the year he won the Lady Bing as the most gentlemanly player.
He's won, what, twice, I think?
Back in 2020-2021, he played 22 minutes and 59 seconds on the ice for his team the entire season.
23 minutes.
Yeah. Do you know how many penalty minutes he had that year?
I would have, the Lady Bing winner is usually around like 30 or something like that. It's 23. I don't know.
Two.
What a hack.
This guy's Lidstrom. Like, he is the closest thing to Lidstrom that I can remember seeing. So whether you're a non-hockey fan or a hockey fan, what did you learn watching? Because you know what? You watch this thing with a completely different, from a completely different perspective. When guys that play on other teams become guys that you're rooting for or against, you know, I don't see the Red Wings. I don't see a ton of games outside of Red Wing games, honestly. Like, it's just you don't have the time for it. But you look at things through a different perspective when you're watching with the intensity and the interest of a game like that. And Slavin was incredible. The guy leads the NHL in points. Nathan MacKinnon, to me, when he had the puck, I seriously was more concerned than when anybody else on Canada had the puck.
So then you understood why Austin Matthews would go over and pay some more attention to him on the game-winning goal.
Not below the red line. Not below the red line, I don't. But
not out there.
But I didn't think that MacKinnon would be... In my view, he was more dangerous than Connor McDavid when he had the puck. And I didn't expect to have that feeling.
Well, both of those guys are ridiculously good. With McDavid, what strikes you about him is his speed. He builds up a head of steam, and you're like, how are you supposed to stop that? Mm-hmm. And he looks bigger than he is. He's only 6'1". He looks like he's 6'4 out there once he gets going.
Now, is it that much of a change? No, I knew MacKinnon was really, really good. I just didn't think I would fear him.
In the world,
I didn't think I would fear him more than Connor McDavid when he had the puck on a stick. 248-539-9797, phone calls, ticket texts. We're looking for, what did you learn? Non-hockey fans, I know you haven't watched a ton of hockey, but this is a safe space to go ahead and share what you learned the most about the game. And for the hockey fan, when you look at it through a different perspective, and there are guys you're not used to rooting for, and there are guys you are rooting now against that you haven't seen a ton of, what is it you most learned? Well, let's get to your phone calls. We got a Mike on a cell. You're on 97 on the ticket. Hi, Mike.
Hey, guys. How are you guys doing today?
Okay, thank you.
I really appreciate you guys taking my call. I do think that I am a hockey fan. The one thing that I do think that I've noticed is that politics has no room in hockey, and I think a lot of us agree with that. After that game, it kind of cooled down a bit. There wasn't a lot of 51st state talk and all that kind of jazz. But it's just good to see a good hockey game, two nations going at it, and not getting involved in that politics, because I think that has just no room in sports. You're supposed to enjoy the sport for what it is. Regardless of who won yesterday, I think it was just a great game, and USA clearly has stepped up in the last few years, and it's Team 1A and Team 1B. Like, anyone could have won that game, and it was just a beautiful thing to watch. It was just honestly one of the best sports games that I've seen in a long, long time.
It was awesome. And yeah, the 51st state stuff is ludicrous, but and I think most of the nation agrees with that. And obviously all of Canada would agree with that. But the game itself, I I think, look, there's this undertone of politics that was there, but I think that disappeared so quickly and just became competition between the two. And this was no different than, you know, what we saw in 96 or what we saw in 2010 when these teams go at it. It's no different than that. It was awesome. You know, that it was a 2010. That was the year that Crosby had the goal over
overtime in the Olympics. I feel like
scored on Miller,
this
and it was but it was like, I remember that's 15 years ago, right?
Yep.
I remember the feeling I had watching that, and it was, again, it's all about national pride, and but at the end of the day, once the hands are, you get through the handshake line, it's like, okay, because it's Canada.
I'll just say this. I feel like I'm to say definitively that politics didn't play a role is speaking for other people, and I'm not comfortable doing that. I think for some people it played a huge role.
Yeah, I think for the most part, though, it doesn't.
And in 1980, when with the Miracle on Ice, what made it what it was politics place in sports.
Partially,
it was a huge part of that. And so, you know, for that listener, it was just about the hockey, which is awesome for him. I think it's sort of naive to think that didn't play a huge role for a lot of people.
But I also feel like, and you're right, probably shouldn't speak for everybody, but I think that most people want to push that part of it away. They don't want to dwell on that. They don't want to look at that. What they want to look at is the hockey between these two nations. And, you know, regardless of what's been said the last few weeks, it's still United States versus Canada in hockey. And Canada, you know, it's like they're the Kansas City Chiefs of the NFL. You got to beat the man to be the man. And the United States hasn't done that enough. So they're still on top. And they continue to be on top after last night because, you know, McDavid gets the goal. Great that the United States won the game a week ago on Saturday. But last night was the one for the championship, and they couldn't get it done last night.
All right, one of my favorite people in sports media said something that made me cringe. We will get to that today at 12:32. It is Carson Anderson here on 97.1 The Ticket. Hey, are you staying warm this week? How about some help from Show Some Athletic Apparel, their performance hoodie, or on those cold morning workouts, one of their long sleeve performance shirts? If you're still getting your workout in, even in the super cold weather, you're a Show Some kind of person. Show some respect to your commitment. More and more of you are getting the Show Some gear every day. And if you haven't, what are you waiting for? Michigan-based high-quality shirts, sports bras, leggings, shorts, and more. Say it every day. Treat each other with respect. And Show Some was founded on respect. Use a discount code Doug at checkout. Go to showsome.com. That's showsum.com. You know, it's funny. One thing I'm so accustomed to with, you know, our national sport, which is football, is in football, you see something like that and you go, oh, God, is there a flag? In hockey, there's really no flag. There's no.
No, there's video review.
Yeah.
Was he in the crease? Was he not in the crease?
He was not in the crease.
No, he was clearly not. That was just a hell of a. Connor McDavid being Connor McDavid.
Yeah. I mean, as a coach of a team in a moment like that, do you just appeal the hell out of everything? I want it reviewed. For what? Offsides. When they entered the zone. I got nothing else.
He said he was left-handed.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong.
Check his stick. Is that stick measured correctly? Is it too much of a curve?
Too much of a curve. You go with that.
I mean, it's brutal. Look, that goal was the way that tournament ended is how. Maybe not how you want it to end with the United States losing, but having overtime for the championship game, there you go.
Yep.
Well done, NHL.
Well, when it went to overtime, I was just like, they couldn't ask for anything more than this.
And the way they played in overtime was great.
What they probably didn't want was for it to go like four overtimes.
No, and that's what I mean. Like when the style of play in the overtime was as if both teams were told, don't drag this out. Somebody go and score, because it was offensive heavy right up until the point where that goal was scored. There were so many opportunities for both sides. Both goaltenders are doing a great job, And unfortunately, in the end, for the United States, McDavid left alone in front, and he made him pay for it.
All right, so we're asking hockey fans from the hardcore to just a Red Wing fan to the casual to the I never watched before last night. What did you learn watching this game and this series and this tournament? Because you just see things through a different prism when suddenly you start to appreciate everything that, Gator, you and I said it, and here's the first text from Jamie. I'm a Red Wing fan, but I don't watch other hockey. I'm a semi-casual. I learned that Jacob Slavin was the greatest defenseman since Lidstrom. He was everywhere. That stood out to me and Gator. Like, heard of him, knew he was good. I mean, he was on the team. He's incredible.
Yeah. And we talk about ways to, is this going to help grow the game or not? I think it's only positive can come out of this. Another way that you grow the game here in the States is if the United States were to win, like winning is good, right? It gets more people involved with it. Dylan Larkin afterwards, this is a quote that Ryan Clark, who writes for ESPN, has.
Yeah.
It's pretty great. He says, Dylan Larkin said this. He goes, you know what I think it does? I think we've had a tough time with USA hockey getting guys to play in the world championships. I think guys are at home watching this, and I hope that they're wanting a piece of this. They got to go to the world championships and prove themselves and play for their country. We got to start winning that tournament. I think that's where Canada and those guys go out and play. That's where it starts. Pride for your country, pride for your flag. Putting that crest on and going out for games is an unbelievable feeling. This grew the game really well, but I hope this pushes guys to want a piece of this and then the next generation that get to watch this. They're going to watch the Olympics next year, and hopefully there is a different outcome for our country that I feel we deserve.
Ah, love it.
That's Dylan Larkin talking about this. And if you get people, come and play. Get the best to play in the World Championships afterwards. And if you win, you start to get more and more interest in the sport and into the game. In this country in particular.
Larkin did say before the game that it was the biggest game of his career.
Because it was.
Yeah, I mean, he's played in Stanley Cup playoff games, but he was 19 years old, and the Red Wings lost the series in five games. 248-539-9797. Let's go to Brandon and Shelby. You're on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Brandon.
What's up, guys? How's it going?
It's going well.
So they go to the championship game last night, and they go to overtime. I think the last time the professional players were allowed to play was 2010, which they also lost in overtime against Canada. So what if next year the coach talks to them and he says, hey, this is our time. You know, we lost two overtime championship games in a row, and then we looked better than we did in 2010, but then next year we take the gold medal. Like, it would have been cool to win the four, but what's better than the gold medal?
Yeah, I mean, if you give me a choice, I'm going to take the Olympic gold medal over this every single time.
Well, they got medals last night.
They did get medals last night.
And the hardware.
But even Connor McDavid afterwards says, yeah, it's not an Olympic gold medal, but it meant an awful lot to our hockey team. And so, look, it's a huge win for the sport. It's a huge win for next year's Winter Olympics. I mean, you got to think that many people are looking forward to that now that weren't beforehand.
And like you said, Larkin said this is the biggest game of his career. Next year is the same. And imagine if Russia's in it. It's going to make it even better. Imagine if we beat Canada and Russia. It's like the miracle on ice and overcoming Canada at the same time.
I don't know about all that. I don't know if anything will ever be the miracle on ice. But
it's completely different when you have amateurs, literally college kids, taking on a professional hockey team from Russia.
Danny's in St. Clair Shores, and he is next. Hi, Danny.
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up?
So you asked what we learned, and I was telling your call screener. I'll be honest, I'm a little hard on Dylan Larkin, right? And I learned that he's elite. I mean, those two games against Canada, Saturday and yesterday, in my opinion, I believe he was, USA's best forward. He was all over the ice, scoring Saturday, creating scoring chances yesterday. I mean, he showed me, he showed me why he's the captain and why, the Wings are lucky to have him. And I'll be honest, my dad knows, my friends know that, I'm like, Larkin, he's a captain, but I mean, come on, he's not elite. Man, he's shown me he's elite, guys.
He earned his playing time to the point where I felt like Mike Sullivan went into this, he was a fourth line player. He came out as a top two-line player. He was on the ice when the puck dropped at the beginning of overtime, which he might not have been had Matthew Tkachuk been healthy, but he was the guy that they chose to put in that role. His ice time was amongst the most on the league and on the team. He had the third most shifts on the team. He was the guy that was out there on the penalty kill for the longest. I mean, there's so many things that Dylan Larkin did where he's not an elite goal scorer, okay? I didn't get the same feeling when he had the puck on his tape like with McKinnon or McDavid, but you know what I did think? I thought he was an elite glue guy, and a lot of what makes a captain is doing everything to help your team win.
You hit the nail on the head. I believe the first game against Finland, he only played like, you know, 8.5 minutes
play
or something, and then Sullivan rolled him, and then another real quick comment. You know, hockey, what a sport. Mitchie Marner, didn't recognize him all game. That he has those two beautiful assists. Just, man, what a game yesterday. I'll let you guys go. I hope you have a wonderful weekend.
Danny, thank you.
I love the example that Dylan Larkin sets for his teammates here with the Red Wings. Here he is in the first couple games, he's playing on the fourth line. But it's what kind of effort are you going to give? You know, are you gonna be upset because you're the fourth line guy and you're only getting 10 minutes, 12 minutes of ice time a game, or you're going to make the most out of those 10, 12 minutes? And that's what he did. He made the most out of it. So you get noticed. And when you get noticed, you get opportunities. And I think it's a great example to set for the third and fourth liners on this Red Wing team. Go out there and play, man. You got to give it all every shift.
Jay is in Northville, and he is next on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Jay.
Hey, guys. Hey, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I was telling your screener, too, as well, that, listen, it was a great tournament overall. I think people need to realize that this was in place of our All-Star game. You know, there was a stat the other day, 10.3 million, 10.4 million watched the first game of U.S. and Canada, and the whole weekend of the NBA, only 4 plus million watched that. It was great for the hockey as a general, or hockey in general. I loved it. I get it wasn't the Olympics, but it meant a lot to all of us. And I've never been so content with a loss because the game was so good. But it is a fun fact for all those hockey fans out there that really know. Russia would probably be in the finals because they'd have two elite lines that are unbeatable. Malkin would be a third or fourth line guy on Russia. So it's important to note that, too.
Jay, you said something there that begs a follow-up question. You said this was in place of our All-Star game, and then you said it was important to us. Were you using those terms in general, or are you a player?
I was a player back. Yeah, I was a player in college.
Okay. All right. Gotcha.
I played in Northern, but I'm just saying, and hockey fans is what I was.
Okay. Yeah. I just caught those little cues, and I'm like, is this an NHL player calling us? But
no, it would be cool. Believe me, I'd love to be one, but no, unfortunately, sales and, you know.
Did you play, who's the kid, Dominic Schein, did you play with him at Northern?
I did, yeah.
Awesome.
Dommy.
Yeah, Dommy?
Yeah, it's been a while.
Doms.
That's great, cool.
Dommer.
Yeah.
Nader.
Yeah, but I think it needs to be talked about more is PK Subban's rant on, I think it was Get Up. It was one of the ESPN shows, and I loved it. Like, he had so much passion, and in hockey, you got to remember, like, you can't take it. It's not like you can, like, casually coast down a court. No offense to the basketball players, but, like, if you don't give it at least a decent effort, you can get hurt. Like, it's not an easy sport to play. So especially watching your countrymen, you know, watching, I quite frankly, I didn't even like the Tkachuks until, I didn't even know how much I liked the Tkachuks until they played in this tournament. And I still can't stand Marchand, but, you know, if he was a Red Wing, I'd probably love him. So it was a great tournament. I'm so happy they did this. I love the World Baseball Classic as well. I was a ball player, but they got to figure something out. I'm not a big basketball guy, so frankly, I don't care if they figure it out ever. But they'll figure something out for maybe baseball and hopefully the NFL. Jesus. But, yeah. Anyways, no, thanks for my call. But, yes, Russia would be an elite team.
Go Wildcats.
Remember.
We'll see you.
Shiner. Shines.
And were the cues there? It was like something that our sport meant a lot to us. I'm like, is this guy
as a hockey player? Yeah.
He was. Yeah. He was.
Very provincial, Bob.
He's, well, look, man, I play hockey.
So, yeah. Did you just say that?
I did.
Come on, man. Hey, come on. Come on.
All right, what am I
saying? Is there
favorites?
Anybody on your team that you think you could say that and get away with it?
that could – do I think there's anybody in our league that could play, could step on the ice with Jay and Shiner and not look like a fool? Do I think there's people in our league that could not look like a fool? Yes. I would look like an absolute fool. I would look like I was standing still. I would look like people if I touched the puck, people would say, that's really good for him.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh. That's good for him. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket.
Hey, look, here's a simple question, right? Is keeping your house warm important to you this winter? You know it is. So do the right thing. If your furnace isn't working right, call the great folks over at Birmingham Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling. Now, look, luckily those red, white, and blue trucks, they are everywhere. They're there for a reason because the expert technicians at Birmingham Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling, they know exactly what they're doing. They know how to keep you and your family warm this winter. Don't just take my word for it. You can check out their A-plus rating that they have from the Better Business Bureau. How about some of those five-star reviews they have on Google? Whether it's your furnace, your water heater, a boiler, or water filtration, make sure everything is right. Schedule an appointment at BirminghamPlumbingCO.com. Birmingham Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling, your Metro Detroit boiler experts.
All right, it is Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. If you want to continue with the hockey, I love the stuff. Non-hockey fans, what did you learn? Hockey fans, what did you learn? Red Wing fans, what did you learn watching this team? If you're a hardcore hockey fan, you might have gone into it knowing it all. But maybe not. If you're just a Red Wing fan, you probably through a different prism, saw some guys a different way rooting for Americans or rooting against guys you don't see a whole ton that maybe play out west. If you are a non-hockey fan that sampled it, and we had some of you guys call the show yesterday, what did you just learn about the sport of hockey? 248-539-9797. Coming up in a minute, it's Lions related. It's Miles Garrett related. Somebody I really, really like and respect said something that made me cringe, and I don't believe him. But we'll get to that in a minute. Some of the feedback we've gotten from an unnamed texter. Last night, I learned Dylan Larkin is the best current American-born player. Matthews is not a captain. Whether he is or he isn't the best, I think Larkin's status in the game was elevated. I don't know if I'd say he all the way to the best current American-born
player. Has a local athlete ever gained this much after like 2 weeks of... Because people were calling saying Larkin sucked before this tournament even happened, right? Like, he shouldn't even be on the team. And now 2 weeks later, it's like, this guy's the best American-born player. You know, like, what's going on?
Neither of which are true.
Yeah, right? I mean, overreaction, but still, he's gained so much.
He really showed up on the big stage, and I'm proud of the guy, man. That was a really nice effort, and yet that's how he's been playing hockey. In a lot of ways as a Red Wing.
We'll get back to your phone calls in a minute. It appears Daniel Jeremiah from NFL Network did a conference call regarding the Lions, whether it was yesterday or earlier today or whenever it was. And the topic of Miles Garrett came up, and he said something that makes me cringe, and I don't believe him. I am not a fan of whatever it takes, guy. Go get Miles Garrett, whatever it takes. Or really any whatever it takes, guy. Because I don't really believe whatever it takes, guy, really means it. Whatever it takes is where you get to the Mike Tannenbaum 3 first-round picks and Jahmyr Gibbs. And whatever it takes, guy, is like, I will endorse irresponsible spending. If you have any limit at all, you really don't mean whatever it takes. Whatever it takes means there is literally nothing I will say no to. And who really believes that? Who really believes that? And they all give this pat answer. Well, there's two. There's one is, hey, I'm trying to win a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. Two is, well, within reason. Then it's not whatever it takes.
Right. Then don't.
And Daniel, I love Daniel Jeremiah. I think he's one of the best in the business. His quote is, then maybe it's out of context or something. I think if I were Brad Holmes on that front, knowing that I could bring a parade to my city, I'd do whatever I had to do to make something like that happen. I, you know.
Which needs the next two words, within reason.
Within reason, yeah. And
it's not there.
Yeah. I can guarantee to whatever it takes, guy, I could come up with a trade that you wouldn't do.
The other thing that was interesting with the Daniel Jeremiah stuff is, like, in the next sentence, he's saying he doesn't think Cleveland's going to trade Myles Garrett.
Yes.
Which is also kind of wishy-washy, but...
If you don't think... Okay, because if a team is willing to do whatever it takes, I suspect that Cleveland could be moved off that position. Right? In fact, that's how you get completely rooked in a trade, is you go in with a whatever it takes attitude to a team that says... Now, so maybe I'm being too literal here. I'll mm-hmm. admit that. But we get a lot of that to this show.
Yeah.
And so when I really respect say the same thing, I'm like, dude.
Because we ask the people that will call in and say the same thing. What did the guy do? Otherwise, it's malpractice. You have to do whatever it takes. Okay, let me ask you this. Would you do this? And then we propose something.
It's the Tannenbaum deal.
Well, no, that's too much.
It's always
right.
the Tannenbaum deal.
Three first-round picks and Jahmyr Gibbs. Do you do that? No.
Yeah.
No, I don't. You know, do you do two first-round picks in Jahmyr Gibbs?
Now, would you say I would find a way to outbid the next highest bidder as best I could? I mean, that's one way to put it. I just think whatever it takes, guy, isn't really thinking it through or doesn't really mean it. Because if they have any limit, that means you have no limits. No limits. Now, maybe being Captain Literal isn't the most... I am being Captain Literal on this one, but 248-539-9797. When I saw that a guy that I love said it, I'm like, do I pay attention? Do I listen to, because Daniel Jeremiah said it? And I thought, no, I just disagree with Daniel, unless there was more to the quote that I didn't see because I wasn't part of that news conference. 248-539-9797. Mike is in Windsor and he's next on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Mike.
Hi, guys. Hi. You guys are awesome.
Thank you.
I'd like to say what I learned last night is that I love hockey again. I'm a diehard Red Wing fan, and the last decade has been a little iffy for us. And the last game I seen that I enjoyed was the Olympic game in 2010. But after Saturday's game, it just woke me up again. And if it was Monday, I'd champ the American team, the Canadian team, and the Boston fans for such a great game. It was like so. I still have goosebumps, but after Saturday's game, I had a plan to bring my dad to Toronto to see a Maple Leaf game because he's a Maple Leaf fan. And then after the game, I got on it, got my tickets, and I realized we have one more game against Toronto, the Red Wings, and I got tickets.
Well, that's awesome. So this series rekindled a little something in you, huh?
Oh, yeah. Like I said, because
Mike is young Detroit, again.
Yes, I am. Thank you.
That's awesome. Cool. 248-539-9797. FBG25 on Twitch says, what I learned, there's a lot of hockey players named Connor. We joked that every other hockey writer from Canada is named
Gord.
Yep. 248-539-9797. Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Warm up your winner with these hot deals from Sarah Chevy in Sterling Heights. Lease a 2025 Chevy Equinox LT for just $349 a month with no money down. This zero down deal can be yours with a GM employee discount and a current lease in your household. Sarah Chevrolet Sterling Heights, where they guarantee the lowest price or it's free. 17.5 in Van Dyke in Sterling Heights. Stay warm and say Sarah. Call 87-SAY-SARAH or go to saysarah.com. Together, let's drive. See dealer for details and get there fast. Because all offers end March 3rd.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing.
But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Doug Hart, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Let's go to Greg in Dearborn here on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Greg.
Hey, guys. So I learned two things last night, but real quick before that, I called in yesterday and said Larkin was going to have two goals, and basically Binnington was a bum. Boy, was I wrong. Binner, man, he's a gamer. I think he's the sole reason that they won that game, to be honest.
He was pretty good. You got to give him a ton of credit. He was pretty damn good.
Yeah. But the two things I learned, one, no matter what, you can't, you know, the jersey switch or whatever, that Toronto Maple Leaf jersey is still probably underneath Austin Matthews' a USA jersey there. Why did he not cover him in the slot? Anybody in the slot, but Connor McDavid in the slot. Why did he?
I don't know. Why? It was a momentary panic. I mean, I don't know a ton about coaching hockey, but I do know that coaches say that area where McKinnon had the puck is not a dangerous area. So you've got Matthews is on Connor McDavid. He's got it below the red line in the corner. There's a defenseman coming out from behind the net that it's got to be his responsibility. But leaving, I mean, it's almost laughable. I thought that faceoff was kind of a draw. But anyway, the bottom line is leaving Connor McDavid open in the slot is you can't.
Yeah, well, at the same time, don't miss your opportunities either. And United States missed a ton of opportunities. They had to put that game away, and they just couldn't get it done. I mean, they were up 2-1 and looked like they had opportunities to score, couldn't do it. And then Sam Bennett scores this amazing goal, an amazing shot where he puts it – I still don't know how he's able to lift it perfectly and place it perfectly in the top shelf just over the shoulder of Hellebuck. And it was amazing. And that ties it up. And that's just a shot right to the schnutz, man. I mean, that hurt. That looked like, damn it.
The second thing I learned was that if you put Beelzebub himself in a winged wheel, I could probably root for him. Because I was sitting there just full on rooting for the Tkachuk brothers. Like when they were talking to him in the pregame and they were talking to his dad.
Yeah.
I mean, I already cut the onions earlier for tacos, so I had no excuse. I don't know why. I was like welling up. And they're talking about Goudreau and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
And then when Brady had his goal, it was like, I don't know. I was so excited. I'm like, I'm looking at his face. I hate that man. I love that man.
I know. It's really funny how this makes for strange bedfellows because I couldn't conceive rooting for a Tkachuk. Do you remember a couple of years ago when the Red Wings were right there for the playoff chase and then they had the two disastrous games in Ottawa?
Yeah, a few years ago, yeah.
Yeah, and I came out of that hating Brady Tkachuk.
Yeah, and I came out of that saying that's exactly the player the Red Wings need. Yeah. And I was hoping, you know, you were hoping, like, the Red Wings had a poor man's version of it. It was Tyler Bertuzzi. But Tyler Bertuzzi is nowhere near on the level of those guys. Those guys are exactly what every team would want to have, particularly when you get into the playoffs. It's all grit. It's all determination. It's all leaving it out there. Now, Matthew Tkachuk, did he end up hurting the team in the end because he was nowhere near 100% to start the game and could have sat out and allowed a healthy player to come in? Maybe. But you can't question the guy's heart because he wants to play and wants to win. And Brady Tkachuk, every shift is accounted for.
I just looked down at Twitch and Coyboy1 posted, how many Hugheses are there?
There's a lot.
And then said, one still on the Michigan team. There is a Hughes.
Are there three or four?
There are three. TJ Hughes, currently on the Michigan team, is not a Hughes brother. I mean, he might be a Hughes brother, but he's not one of those Hughes brothers. Michigan now contractually is obligated to have a Hughes on their roster. So they went and got TJ Hughes, who's Canadian, but he is not a brother of Quinn and Jack and the Hughes brothers.
It's like the Millers at Michigan State.
Right. 248-539-9797. All right, hockey fans, non-hockey fans, what did you learn watching the Four Nations?
It's funny because I learned that I'm in the minority here, I think. I can't root for the Tkachuk brothers, like, no matter what. Like, I can't. Like, I understand, like, that last caller flipped, right?
Yeah.
I couldn't get flipped. Like, I was just, like, pass the puck to somebody else or gonna start cheering. I don't like those guys, man. I cannot root for them. I just... And probably because this game isn't a real, like, international competition game. You know, it's made up in place of the All-Star game. So maybe if it was real Olympic hockey, I might have been able to do it. But for this, I couldn't.
I mean, full disclosure, for me, I was a huge Keith Tkachuk fan when he played in the NHL. Their father, I love that guy. You know, that's a 50-goal scorer, abrasive as hell. I mean, he's Brendan Shanahan, but he was American.
Right.
Loved him.
248-539-9797. Jake is in Windsor, and he's on 97.1. Hi, Jake.
Hey, guys. I live in Canada, so happy Victory Friday. Yeah. I just wanted to comment on what you guys were saying earlier about the demographics and the amazing viewership for this tournament. What sport in the world can you actually fight in the game and not get ejected? You know, like, it's just so exciting and fast paced. And I think, the world seeing this tournament, I think it just opened the demographics and just opened up people's eyes to the game. Like, I think it's just going to do good for the NHL and hopefully the Olympics next year.
Look, the term that kept getting used, and I'd never heard this, but it makes sense, is best on best. And it's when the NHL players are included in international play, we do get best on best. We will have best on best next year in the Olympics. We will have, I assume, best on best in hockey's World Cup. Certainly hope. And that's 3 years away. And we will have best on best when this thing gets rekindled.
So I have a question. Going into the Olympics, do you look at the U.S. team similar as to what they put out in this tournament here?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of the players?
Yeah, like player-wise.
The roster? I mean, I would expect it to be a very similar roster. I mean, but they've got a year to audition for that, and we'll see if, you know, other players emerge. And...
Yeah.
Is there ESPN put out a story today with the mortal locks to be on next year's roster for the Olympics, and Dylan Larkin was amongst them. I don't know if you're asking about a specific player, or are you just asking, do we think it's really truly going to be?
Well, I mean, obviously the are going to be similar. I'm wondering next year, just for, because I live in Canada, obviously, so I'm wondering, like, is Bedard going to make Team Canada next year? Because he didn't make the team this year. Like, stuff like that, like the Hughes brothers, or...
I'm not going to blow smoke up your channel.
You'll see some other... Like, Quinn Hughes is probably going to be on the team next year if he's healthy, right? Because he was a guy who wasn't healthy, and then looked like maybe he was going to get in because it was an injury, and... No, he wasn't healthy enough to get in there. So, but there'll be a couple of changes for sure. But
can Bedard make it? I don't know enough to say whether or not he will make Team Canada.
See if he develops.
248-539-9797. Jeff is in Linden and he's next. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, guys. I've been listening to your thoughts on the game last night and agree with virtually all of them. I think It was a tremendous tournament. It was a great game. But I really think losing that game is a huge setback to U.S. hockey. For a rivalry to last and to really be significant, you've got to win sometimes. And they have not won in a long time, and this was their best shot. And honestly, I think it was a doubly difficult loss because I don't think they've got a serious shot in the Olympics. On the big ice, the Tkachuks are going to have much less impact. The Canadian, especially offensively, that team is quite a bit faster. I think this was their shot, and I think it's really unfortunate that they couldn't get it done.
I thought we had a chance.
Yeah, look, I'd say this, Jeff. You know, we had the Canadian guy call and say it's 1A and 1B now. The United States is right there with them. I think there's some truth to it's going to be harder on the big ice, but maybe we construct the team a little bit differently. I mean,
yeah,
we've
that's
won.
Certainly always possible.
Yeah, so I suspect that they would.
Everybody's got speed.
Yeah,
right? Dylan Larkin's one of the fastest players in hockey. Sanderson's got speed. Hughes has speed. I think it'll be fantastic hockey a year from now when you get to the Olympics, because it's not just Canada, USA. Now you've got other nations coming in, and if Russia's allowed to play, obviously they have a very competitive team. You've got other teams from Europe that are going to be very competitive.
It's going to be harder.
Yeah.
It's going to be harder. But, you know, as far as your thing about something needs to be a rival, when you keep losing to your rival, it only cranks up your intensity. I think it hurts the intensity from the side that constantly wins. But if you constantly lose, you can't wait for your next shot. And that, unfortunately, like our win over Canada, we've beaten Canada, I think it's two games since 1960 in Olympic play. Two. So that win Saturday felt significant. Player just released in the NFL. Would he make sense in Detroit? Well, he used to play on a team Dan Campbell coached. We will get to that today at 102. What did you learn watching the Four Nations final? Marlon Wall Lake writes in, and I think this is a great one. What I learned from watching the Four Nations was pride still matters in sports. I love that. Because part of the reason why All-Star games have started to become lame is because you're not getting paid the way you get paid for your 9-to-5 as a regular player. So the effort isn't there. You're not going to get hurt doing it. In college sports, players that, you know, used to give it the old 110 for tech, now they they're getting paid.
Let's go Tech.
Now they're getting paid. And in this particular instance, the financial versus the effort was a massive difference. The financial, I think they did get a check for this, but it's probably not life-changing money for these guys. And they like that was pride.
That was absolutely right. Yeah, they did get a check, but it wasn't a I mean, to normal people, yeah, hey, nice.
Yes.
But for the players, it really wasn't a huge check. They play for pride and country.
Yep.
They play for the guys around them.
248-539-9797, 97.1 The Ticket.